This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Some people like Chris Emma.
Me and Mark Grody both do. That's why we're going to talk to him right now. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show, taking you into your weekend. We got 1 hour left of this radio show. And then, ladies and gentlemen. But Chris Emma is here. This segment with him is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. And it is also brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric for all the right reasons. Call 866-4 Seasons. Sometimes Chris Emma is doing updates on WBBM, our sister station, and he walked on down the hall to join us for this Bears report. What do you say, Chris?
What's up, boys? How we doing? Happy Friday.
Doing well, man. Hey, keep it tight over there. Traffic and weather together. Very, very important, man. You got to get out. Get out on the 8.
I'm just here. This is the pregame show for Neil every 16 and 46 on the hour. I'm just getting ready for Neil.
Do you feel good about this game against the Vikings? I don't know if you heard. I am picking the Bears to beat the Vikings. I mean, you can reveal your pick here if you want or not, but how do you feel about this game?
I hate this matchup for the Bears on offense. Look, it's the pressure the Vikings are going to get, just to lay it out for you, the Vikings are first in the league with pressure rate, third in the league in sacks. Caleb Williams is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. And this is an offensive line. I know it's had a lot of issues with injuries and really getting that consistency part down. I just hate this matchup of the pressure Brian Flores is going to put against Caleb Williams and the Bears. So I'm on the Vikings 23-16. I think it's a good football game. I think it's going to be entertaining. I think you'll see some of the spirit that we saw last week where this team comes out to fight, but it won't be enough.
Well, let's talk about that spirit before we get back to the ball game itself. It seems to me, and you guys would know being around the team this week as you have, it seems like all these players on the offense are like very invested in things going well now, because this move, Thomas Brown for Shane Waldron, is one that they have wanted. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. Absolutely. Look, I mean, we knew ever since really that game against the Colts is where we really started learning about the way that the leaders on this team were going to the coaches, going to Shane Waldron, to Matt Eberflus, and saying, we need this to be better. Well, we need this to be streamlined to the players. We need this offense to fit the talent. We need a different play calling style, really, is what you were hearing from guys like Mercedes Lewis and Keenan Allen and the leaders on that team, that leadership council we keep hearing about. They had multiple meetings since, and it clearly did not resonate from that really bad loss to the Colts game. I think they should have won down in Indy, and it never really picked up from there. That got Shane Waldron removed. And we've heard now, too, and we've heard from players talking about they wanted some kind of change offensively. They didn't say, we need to fire Shane Waldron, but they said something needs to change because they were checked out on this. They're invested with Thomas Brown. You're absolutely right, Speaks. They believe in this guy. He set them up for success in a way that they weren't having with Shane Waldron. Now it's about getting those results.
So one more thing on Thomas Brown and on Shane Waldron going backwards. He talked this week about how an offensive unit or a defensive unit can take on the personality of its coordinator. And I loved that. And I feel like the Bears offense took on the personality of Shane Waldron during his time here. What do you guys make of that?
It needed to change. It just, I don't know if they took it on as much as just,
I think they fought it. They fought it from day one.
There was
one,
such a clear disconnect.
Because I would say, like, the sloppiness of it.
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
But
I think
the chaos of it.
But I think at the same time, after the game is over, they're going home thinking, what the hell's with this offensive coordinator? And there were guys that were not so subtle and actually pretty direct about things they didn't like about the offensive coordinator.
And we heard from Caleb Williams early in the year talking about, I need to get on the same page with Shane Waldron and really establish that dynamic. And consider that from Caleb Seiber, he only really knew Lincoln Riley in the college game. From Oklahoma to USC, they had such a great dynamic. They still talk constantly to this day. There was a trust there, and there was never really a trust between Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron. You hear the expression often in football, players, not plays. And that's not the way that Shane Waldron operated. It was plays, not players for him. It was about, I'm going to make this play work, and you got to fit this, and we're going to do it differently. It's not that way with Thomas Brown. It's players, not plays. It's about fitting that style. Players embrace that. They love that stuff. They're bought into this guy right now. You can really feel it.
I hope that continues, because we have heard different versions of that from other offensive coordinators that the Bears have had. Hey, we're going to do what's best for the talent on this team, and then somehow it fades away. So here's to hoping Thomas Brown is different. Do you remember a head coach, Chris Emma, for the, I believe he was, he did some NFL work, but he was actually a head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish at one point in time. His name was Charlie Weiss. Do you remember one of Charlie Weiss's most famous quotations going into that job? You know the quote I'm going to say here, right?
Let's hear it.
That it is,
schematic advantage?
Yes, a decided schematic advantage.
Sorry, I wanted to prove my smartness. My
no, opinion. That was great. That was beautiful. Your smartness was spot on.
I was very excited.
Yeah, you were. I thought Emma would jump it, but you got it. It would appear.
Emma didn't know it. You heard it here first. He did not know it.
I'd have to see the replay.
I tried to tune out the entire Charlie Weiss era, so forgive me on that one. Same with the Brian Kelly era. We're locked in on Marcus Freeman here, but go on.
I was pretty excited for Notre Dame with the guy. I believed in the decided schematic advantage, but it didn't happen. It would appear, though, I'm going all this way, Chris, that it would appear.
This is a long way.
God, I hope this is worth it for everybody.
No chance. No chance.
I'm already
good luck, Mark.
Preemptively apologizing
Brian
already.
Flores has a decided schematic advantage.
No, wrong, oh, wrong, wrong.
I'll let you go. Go ahead. Sorry.
Kevin O'Connell.
Oh, I see. Kevin O'Connell
has a decided schematic advantage over Matt Eberflus. And I know you wrote a little bit about the prowess of Kevin O'Connell. You got that, Speaks?
I thought he nailed it, Chris. What are your thoughts?
So anyway, does he have a decided schematic advantage?
I'm sorry, what were you saying? No, I should point out, first of all, Shane Waldron actually was a GA under Charlie Weiss in Notre Dame. So that's another story.
Recovering a little bit. You're making up ground for not knowing the quote. Okay. All right.
Look, Kevin O'Connell is one of the best coaches in the NFL. I don't think he gets talked about nearly enough or gets the kind of respect he deserves. Like, he has been terrific for that team. And I wrote about it in my Thursday column, 670thescore.com. You can check it out, about the difference between these two teams. And I want to preface this now from the perspective of Ryan Poles, because in January of 22, he had an offer from the Bears, and he had a chance to fly to Minnesota and likely get an offer from the Vikings. He had a chance to pick between two division rivals. He believed the Bears were the better opportunity for him as a general manager. He saw the chance, rebuild this roster, start over, and have his pick of a head coach, and take the time it needs to be successful. He's now in year three right now, and this thing is supposed to be flourishing, supposed to be on the cusp of playoff bursts and sustained success, and everything we were promised here in Chicago, that's just not been delivered. Look at the other side of Minnesota now. Kevin O'Connell led them to 13-4 in his first season. They won the NFC North. They dominated one-score games, 11 one-score wins during that tenure. Matt Eberflus's tenure now in year three has been underscored by struggles in one-score games. He has by far the worst record of any coach in the NFL in one-score games, 5-17. The best coach in one-score games, Kevin O'Connell. That is the coaching difference right now. Ryan Poles was able to lay his plan, as Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was in Minnesota, but the difference comes down to coaching, and the Bears have been let down by their head coach.
Man, Kevin O'Connell's lifetime winning percentage is .622. And when you sort by active head coach's winning percentage, he's on top of John Harbaugh, of Sean Payton. He's on top of Sean McVay. He's on top of Mike McCarthy and Kyle Shanahan. I mean, it's a very small sample, as you say, and that 13-4 looked like kind of a myth that year. But 8-2 with this bunch is pretty freaking remarkable.
Everybody wrote off Sam Darnold. Nobody was thinking about this guy being a starter. It seemed like a joke when the Vikings went out and got him. But Kevin O'Connell can coach. And give Sam Darnold his flowers, too. He's been terrific. He's had this kind of comeback that I don't think anybody really saw coming. That is a perfect match of head coach and quarterback having that kind of success that it speaks volumes. 8-2 right now, the ability to win those one-score games. As we talked about that Brian Flores-led defense, they are top five in most categories in the NFL. That is a terrific bunch. they're going to get after Caleb Williams. It's going to be a really tough game for the Bears and their protection unit, and I don't like this matchup for the Bears.
Just for those who are playing at home, Matt Eberflus's winning percentage after 44 games is .318. He's ahead of only Dave Canales, Gerard Mayo, Brian Callahan, and Jeff Ulbrich. Those are all rookie coaches. There is no one who has coached more than a season with a worse winning percentage than Matt Eberflus.
And on the Bears leaderboard, he's only ahead of John Fox and Abe Gibron right now.
He's gone, guys.
Yeah.
I think he's dead man walking. I heard Brad Biggs talking about it this morning, and we've talked about it before. This organization believes that when you fire a head coach midseason, you are screaming dysfunction. You are signifying dysfunction. And I understand that it does that. And now to this point, like crying for Matt Eberflus to be fired at this point, you're shouting into a well at this point because the season is this far along. They could have maybe done it early and tried to light a fire, but at this point, he's going to coach out the season and then be toast. Do you guys agree or not?
No, I agree, and I think in part it's unfair. I don't need to see Matt Eberflus gets axed in the middle of the season, but I think in the bigger picture, Kevin Warren comes into the Bears with the promise of doing things differently. Ryan Poles comes to the Bears, sits down with Caleb Williams and his father and says, we're going to do this isn't the old Bears. We do things differently. So in the general whole scope of things, it's a shame that they won't do things differently. They're not going to do things that differently. They're still going to stick to some of those things. So, I don't need it. I don't need the Bears to do it, but a lot of fans do, and it would open up so much goodwill, I think, between organization and the fan base if they were to do something dramatic and different and make you think that they're going in a different direction. So that's what I'd say. But, yeah, I mean, barring some miraculous run here, and it would be miraculous considering the strength of schedule the rest of the way, Matt Eberflus is probably going to be out of a job at the end of the season.
Yeah, we kind of went into this year thinking it was unclear what it would take for Matt Eberflus to be retained for a fourth season. Certainly playoffs would be no doubt he's back. Some sort of progress, building off 7-10 last year and a step forward to, you know, 8 or 9 wins you could have justified. And certainly even if you just fall short of the playoffs, there's been so much dysfunction once again for this Bears team where it's so hard to justify keeping him around for a fourth year. As for this year, look, we know the Bears' philosophy has been never to fire a coach in the season. They also never fired a coordinator during the season.
Correct.
Up until last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ruling anything out at this point, guys. I think if there's another level of dysfunction coming, if there's another wave of chaos at Hallis Hall, who's to say they don't fire him and make that move?
Maybe, but man, I think it took everything in their systems to do what they did with Shane Waldron. Like, I think the reason it took so long is Matt Eberflus didn't want to fire this guy.
Yeah.
And it probably went against, like, I doubt the McCaskies wanted it. I don't know where Kevin Warren stood on it, but I think it took a lot of stress and conversations to just do that much. So I disagree that with the who knows factor. Like, Flus is not getting fired during this season.
The other thing to consider here, guys, is Ryan Poles' position. I think he's safe. I've not heard anything that suggests that he's on the hot seat right now. Think back to 2017 at the end of that run for John Fox when Ryan Pace was trying to ultimately distance himself from his head coach and set himself up for job security, for a chance at seeing this thing forward and positioning himself to hire that next head coach. And he got a contract extension the day that John Fox was fired, and it kind of raised some eyebrows, but it speaks to the way they've operated at Hallis Hall, where a lot of time the general manager gets the benefit of the doubt in a way the head coach won't. I think you're looking at a similar situation now with Ryan Poles, where he sees his plan that's had so many details of rebuilding and seeing this thing through and the fortunes with the number one pick. It's all gone to hell on these guys right now. It's not gone the way that they had hoped with this kind of breakthrough season. Ryan Poles knows this team's not being coached for success right now. I think he's in his heart of hearts thinking about who's my next coach going to be.
Right.
That buys him job security.
Yeah,
he hires that next guy. He's got a chance to really build this thing forward with a fresh start.
It's a great point about Pace getting the extension the day that Fox was fired. But now that Warren is here, as Dan Pompey has mentioned, it does change the mix historically.
Yeah.
Because you're right, their top football guy was Ryan Pace. I remember that day of those press conferences and so many people saying, how about a football president? How about a football czar? Something like that. Like, Ryan Pace is our top football guy. So they've been saying that Do they still say that about Ryan Poles? Or is Kevin Warren considered their top football guy now? And I say this as a guy who screamed for that and wanted that, but now has some cold feet about Kevin Warren making decisions.
My understanding is that Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are really well connected. There's a lot of trust there. I don't see Kevin Warren removing Ryan Poles from this spot and starting over with his own guy. I think his mindset is Ryan Poles is my guy, and they're pleased with the work he's done in this front office to rebuild this roster and set this thing up for what they hope was lasting success. I think they're plenty comfortable when, at the end of the season, if and when you miss the playoffs, saying we need the right head coach to see this thing forward. I do think that change is coming.
As long as we're on the topic, I still have my doubts that they would hire a strong head coach, a powerful person as head coach, a big personality. And I think that's what they desperately need. And so Mike Vrabel comes to mind, you know, some of these and people like that. I still have my doubts that they would hire that kind of personality.
They don't do it. I've said it a million times on this radio station for years that since Mike Ditka and maybe even justifiably the trauma that they went through with Ditka being there, like Ditka was like the anti McCaskey and back. So since then. Everybody that the Bears have hired, except for John Fox, has been inexperienced, but they've all been gentlemen, too. And then you start with Dave Wonsted, who was the hot coordinator. That's the difference with Wani. Wani was...
Whoa.
Yeah, no. It's different with you, Dave, because Dave was desired by a lot of teams that he could have gone to the Giants, and he was the hot prospect defensive coordinator.
A gentleman is a great way to put it, because Lovie Smith was a strong person.
Yeah.
But boy, was he a gentleman.
And so respectful of authority. All of that. Same thing with Mark Trestman. He was exactly the same way. Dick Geron!
No, it's probably worth a history lesson at some point about what went down, because Michael McCaskey was embarrassed.
And
had to be kicked upstairs.
Exactly.
And the whole family was embarrassed.
And I get it. Like, I understand some of that. Ditka had to have been a really difficult personality to deal with if you are the bosses. And all the fans took Ditka's side, obviously, and not ownership. But that is real thing, that they have hired coaches that are going to be pleasant and obedient and controllable and all of that, which is also part of why that they took so long to get a football czar. And I'll say this really quickly, Chris, and I want to hear what you have to say. I don't think Kevin Warren is in on the football stuff. I don't think he has enough time to know what's on the football side, other than maybe saying, bring me a body, bring me Luke Getsy, you know, things like that from last year. Maybe he had something to do with somebody's got to lose their job this year. I don't know, but I don't think that there's any fear of Kevin Warren stepping in, you know, nudge, do this. And if he did, to me, it would be a big mistake.
I do think if and when a change comes at Hallis Hall this offseason, it'll be something led by Ryan Poles with the blessing of Kevin Warren and George McCaskey. Think back to the last time they went through this at the end of the lost 21 season. They had Bill Pulley in as an advisor by December and seeing through this roster and preparing for that change. They had Ernie Corsi years before.
Yeah.
It's a joke the way they've had to handle this by outsourcing for football people. Like, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Kevin Warren changes that. You got somebody, you don't need to hire Ernie Corsi or Bill Pullen. You've got somebody who can oversee and help your general manager forward while empowering him to lead this thing forward. I love Mike Vrabel. I think he's terrific. But I want an offensive-minded coach who can be that caddy for Caleb Williams, who can be that guy who helps him forward the rest of the way. I want Caleb to have his Lincoln Riley. Maybe it is Lincoln Riley. Yeah, who knows? I want him to have somebody he connects with to have that head coach quarterback dynamic.
No likey speaks. What's going on over there?
I have my concerns about Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, I think
Trace Armstrong likes him though.
Okay, that's all that's important.
Okay, yeah, I want it to be that offensive mind. I'm so done with the defensive minded coaching thing when you're just letting you're in your third OC. You're three with this head coach. You're one with this rookie quarterback.
What his about second Nagy? OC, just, Nagy was an offensive guy.
Get the right offensive guy. Get this thing
that's
right
the
for
thing.
Once.
See, you got to have that personality,
you're
man.
You're set up for success. Like, this is your chance. Get that guy in there. If it gets to that point, you got a great opportunity for lasting success.
Chris Emma, you're the goods. Any other nuggets or tidbits that you think we ought to be talking about or knowing about in terms of the Bears beat this week?
Bears.
I think we got it covered.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you. That's Chris Emma. He was really good. It's thanks for being here, buddy. Appreciate you. He will go back down the hall to do BBM. Mark Grody is over there. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We got hot JJ on JJ action with one of the best matchups of this football season on Sunday. Hear from them both next on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.